In today's khutbah, I would like to go back to a theme that we have addressed at different times in different ways. But because of the problem is consistent and continuing, we have to talk about it again and again. Let me begin by asking the question of how do you judge a society? Do you look at the number of universities that it has, or the number of astronomers that they have sent to the space, or by the strength of its military and weapons, or by the tallest buildings and multiple highways, you know, lanes in the highways? These are only materialistic aspects, but the real worth of a society is not that. We have to see how it treats those who are vulnerable in that society, the poor, the needy, and the minorities. How do they treat them? That will become the true measure of a society which is pure, moving forward. And this is actually coming from the words of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. In the famous document that he wrote for Malik Ashtar, where he says to him, make sure you dedicate a time where your guards and your police and your army people are far away, so that the common man can come to you and express his own, you know, problems without any fear. And then he says, his statement to Malik Ashtar is based on a hadith of the Prophet, where he says, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْطٍ. He says, verily I have heard from the Messenger of Allah saying this in more than one occasion, multiple times. And what did the Prophet say? لَن تُقَدَّسْ أُمَّةٌ لَا يُوْخَذْ لِلْضَعِيفِ مِنْهَا حَقَّهُ مِنْ الْقَوِيِّ غَيْرَ مُتَتَعْتَعِ. The Prophet says that no community or no nation can gain any taqaddus, sanctity, purity, perfection. These are all different meanings of the word, you know, taqaddus. No nation can ever gain perfection or purity in which the weak does not get his right without the fear of being treated roughly. That is the criteria, you know, given by Amir al-Mu'minin 1400 years ago. Look at the situation in the United States of America at the moment. The only superpower with great wealth, you know, resources, it's not a country, it's a continent by itself, with the most advanced, you know, level of science and technology. All these things are good. But look at this whole issue of interaction between the people. This whole issue of race relationship between the citizens of this country. Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation on the 1st of January, 1863. Yet 159 years after that, we still see this race problem. And it's not just coming there in a very subtle manner. The way it manifests in form of violence. Last Saturday, 10 Afro-Americans were shot dead by an 18-year-old white gunman who was filled with racial hatred, fueled by this, you know, right-wing theories and ideas. And just think about that level of bogus and hatred that he had towards the Afro-Americans, that he drove more than 3 hours from his town. And he looked to the, you know, Google to find a town which is predominantly of black. So he drives 3 hours. If somebody was just, you know, a little bit loose, you might be able to come back to the senses. But 3 hours, and that hatred is still there. It shows that there is something very deep as far as this racism, you know, in America is concerned. And then he drives there, and he ends up killing 10 Afro-Americans. And this is not just one, you know, random. You know, there are so many other examples that I can very quickly go through, you know, two or three of them, to show the diversity, even this in the violence and this entry, racism attitude. In August of 2019, 21 people were murdered by another 21-year-old white gunman. And he did this in his own words. He says this was a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas. You know, Mexican people there, he doesn't know that Texas belonged to Mexico anyway. You know, and he drove 10 hours from Dallas to one of the border towns so he can kill this, you know, Hispanic, you know, people there. You have a black community church attacked 4 years ago by, again, someone who, you know, considered himself to be white supremacist in the South Carolina, killing 9 individuals. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, October 2018, a white man again goes into a synagogue shouting, "All Jews must die," and ends up killing 11 worshippers. So you see, it's not only black, it's just minorities in general. Whether it's black or Hispanic or the Jewish people. And this is where, when you look at the right-wing commentators in the media, they try to explain this away by saying that this is not hate crime. This is a mental health issue. This is just an individual, isolated, you know, case. In other words, they are saying it's just a bad apple, that's all. If a Muslim had done that, this mental health issue is never explained there, that maybe, you know, he was mentally disturbed. No, he will not be considered to be a bad apple. Rather, the whole cart would be considered to be bad and rotten. And the whole Muslim community, especially the religious leaders, would be expected to apologize for what that one individual had done, if he was from the Muslim background. And this is where we come to realize that, you know, in spite of all these advancements in science and technology, and as far as the issue of, you know, having wealth and money is concerned, this white supremacy is a reality in North America, and this mentality is there. Begins from the family environment and the friends that they, you know, associate with, and this is basically increased and fermented more by the cable news and the social media. The way it manifests is at a different level. You know, you look at the issue of racism when you talk about racial profiling by the police officers, or discriminatory hiring, you know, attitude by the employers. And then you go to the extreme of the issue where we see violence which took place in Buffalo just last week. And when you look at all these issues, you know, whether it was during the days of Clinton or Obama or now Biden, they always identify this gun control as an issue. And I don't deny that. There is a problem in U.S. But they are only looking at the end result, which is the violence committed by weapons. That is not the solution. That is part of the solution. But the main solution starts from the mind of the people. You really have to work on the society, so that they can get rid of this problem known as racism, you know, whether it is through their religious teachings or because of their social settings, and that is the root of the problem. And this is where we come to realize that the secular democratic system has not yet been able to provide a peaceful solution for the human society. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة أما سلف من ذنوبكم. This issue of racism is not only an American or a Canadian problem. Even the Muslim world, even now, 1400 years after the advent of Islam, is still suffering with racism. And you know, I don't shy away from saying what is the truth. I will not only talk about the Muslim world in general, even the Muslims in the West, who are a minority in their countries in the Western part of the world, they also discriminate against fellow Muslims based on their color and tribe. So the problem is in a way everywhere. When we talk about others, we also have to look at inside. Islam has been very clear on this issue. I don't think there is any opinion in the world of Islam, Shia, Sunni, Wahhabi, or Sufi, from the religious point of view, where they will not talk about this concept of equality of Muslims in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Irrespective of the color or the race or the tribe or the language of the person. If you look at the Quran, the only three standards or criteria of giving one person superiority over others is not his tribe or color or language or culture. It is ilm number one, taqwa number two, and jihad number three. You know, when he says, "Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum," the most honorable person among you in the eyes of Allah is the one who has more taqwa, righteousness. When he talks about the issue of ilm, that those of knowledge are not on the same level as those who don't have. Those who have ilm are at a higher level. And then he talks about the jihad in different forms. You know, فضل الله المجاهدين على القائدين. Those who don't do jihad, you know, Allah prefers the mujahideen over them. And so we see these three criteria also. There is nothing as far as the color and the race is concerned. Even in the last khutbah of the Prophet in Ghadir, or the way some Sunnis, you know, talk about it, that in Mina, during the Hajj, or after it, irrespective of that, maybe it was repeated both places, because even the khutbah of Ghadir has a summary of the main teachings of Islam. This is what we many do not know, that it's not only about the succession to the Prophet, where the Prophet introduced Ali ibn Abi Talib formally, But he also gave a summary of the teachings of Islam, and where he says, Ya Yuhannas, Ala inna rabbukum wahid wa anna abakum wahid. O people, your Lord is one Lord, your father is one, all of you come from Adam. Ala la fadla li arabiyin ala ajamiyin. No Arab has a superiority over a non-Arab. وَلَا لِعَجَمِيٍ عَلَى عَرَبِيٍ And no non-Arab has a superiority over the Arab. وَلَا لِأَحْمَرٍ عَلَى أَسْوَدٍ Nor white has a superiority over the black. وَلَا لِأَسْوَدٍ عَلَى أَحْمَرٍ Nor a black has a superiority over white. إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى Except on the basis of taqwa. And then the Prophet said, أَلَا بَلَّقْتُ He says, I want to hear from you. Have I conveyed this message? And all of them said, Bala ya Rasulullah, yes. So he fulfilled his duty. Nobody can say, oh, you know, we were not told about this issue. And this is not only one time. This is many, many times he's talked about it. And this is reinforced in this whole system of Salatul Jama'ah that we have. There is no reservation for anyone. Not even for the donor or for the custodian. There is no reserved spot for anyone. If somebody comes and says, you know, every day I reside here, but today I was late. Well, sorry, you missed the boat. No, move, this is my space, no. And if he pushes him away by force, although his namaz would be okay, but he has committed a sin. It doesn't have an impact on the namaz. And so this namaz jama'at system that we have, you know, people of all different status, you know, social status, wealth-wise, tribe, color, language, you know, they are all there, equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, this is reinforced on a global level in Hajj. You know, just think about it. Ihram, what is it? That garment that pilgrims wear. It doesn't belong to any tribe. There is no tribe which wears there. This is a unique thing that we have in Islam. Basically, when you are going for the Hajj, you are being told that you basically get rid of all identification marks of your tribe or nation or ethnic background. All are coming there as the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most importantly, from our own standard, even the most senior marja' passes away. And when you have salatul janazah for him, what do you say? Allahumma inna hadha المرجع آية الله العظمى الحاج so and so no you say اللهم إن هذا عبدك he is oh Allah he is your servant وابن عبدك son of your servant وابن عمتك son of your servant as far as the mother is concerned so there we are only known as عبد nothing else All these titles and degrees and everything, you know, before and after our name is gone. Even our name is not mentioned there. In Talqeen, you mention the name only. But no titles, nothing. And this is where we have to realize that we are being reminded in all these rituals that we have, this sense of, you know, equality in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat wa ta'ala. Let me end with the quotation, and I quoted this many times before also, but it's relevant here, just to remind ourselves. The impression of the most famous Muslim of North America in this century, Malcolm X. When he became a Muslim, in a sense, he abandoned the Nation of Islam and became a Sunni Muslim. And this is where he went to a tour in African countries, ended up for Hajj. and the letter that he wrote to his wife, talking about his own impression of Hajj. There are some very powerful statements and a message for us where he says, there were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They were of all colors, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. But we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experience in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white. He continues, America needs to understand Islam. I think these words of Malcolm X are still relevant now. He says, America needs to understand Islam because this is the one religion that erases from a society the race problem. We'll just take that the way it is, his impression. Not 100% accurate, we still have problems. Throughout my travels in the Muslim world, I have met, talked to, and even eaten with people who in America would have been considered white. But the white attitude was removed from their minds by the religion of Islam. I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all colors together, irrespective of their color. And this is where we have to really, you know, talk about this issue from our own religious, teachings and reform ourselves as well as portray that message to the rest of the society. That is our duty as far as our migration to this part of the world is concerned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the true teachings of Islam and to be true to what we do in our daily life according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala sayyidil mursaleen wa shafi'il mudhunibin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما أحيى أثار البدء والطغيان هادم أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون